Welcome to CWA Radio Network, brought to you 7 days a week by Christian Women Affiliate. You're listening to My Journey of Faith, hosted by Cynthia McCutcheon, wife, mother, Bible teacher, and speaker, encouraging others to share their God stories to inspire others in their walk of faith. For the next 60 minutes, we invite you to join us live via the chat room. Click to talk to the host or call in 347-850-8893. After the show, we invite you to join us at Christian Women Affiliate. Here's your host.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a wonderful day. God has given us a beautiful day just to look at His creation and to see what He is doing to make His name famous. Today, I read a quote just earlier, and it was from Nicole Day, and it said, "Our unique God author stories are powerful tools. When we embrace them, especially the difficult chapters, doors open for us to tell the ultimate story of hope and love." And today I have a lady with me. Her name is Andrea Donnell. She's the child of a king, pastor's wife, and a mother of four. She's a native of Searcy, Arkansas, and she is married to Matt Donnell, who currently serves as a pastor of the church in Arkansas. She has four very cute children, and she's actively serving, reaching the teens in her church and her surrounding area. She also loves fellowshipping with women and finds it an honor to serve them. Not only does she does the service in her local area, but she also travels to an Indian reservation where she is seeing growth for God and making His name famous on mission trips in the Indian reservation. If you will, just help me welcome Andrea. Well, if it would unmute. Okay. Hi, Andrea.
Hey.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Good. I tell you, just our God stories are so unique. And you had told me that God has been leading you for a while to share your story of becoming a pastor's wife and just the journey that you're on. You want to kind of fill us in on that?
Well, my journey actually began when I was about 8 years old, and that's it was a hot July night, I remember. It was during a revival service, and that's the night that I met Jesus, and my journey began then. And since that night, I always felt that God had a different plan for me, and not that I'm any better than anyone else, but I just knew that He had something for me to do. So, probably a few years later, when I was about 13, it was another hot July day. We were out, and my dad was a farmer, and we were out in the field waiting for him to get off the tractor to pick him up. And I don't know, it just came out, and it hit me. And I told my mom, I said, "Mom, I think I want to marry a preacher one day." And she stopped what she was doing, and she looked at me, and she said, "Why in the world would you want to do that?" So, but you know what I told her? I said, "You know, because I want my family to always be close to God." Well, boy, was I wrong. And I remember Mom looking at me and kind of smiling at me and rolling her eyes like, "You silly girl, you'll find out one day." So, that was the first time that the Lord really started revealing to me my heart's desires. And Psalm 37:4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." That has been the theme verse of my life in every single turning point. And so my desire to become a preacher's wife, that was my first heart's desire.
So then you, at what point, what brought that about? How did you meet your husband? Was he already a pastor? Or?
Oh my goodness. No, here's how I did things. I did things the way that I wanted to do them. And it went, well, I think maybe I was in high school. A family friend, one of my best friends in high school, we started dating, and we dated to college, and he actually surrendered to preach. Well, I really thought that he was the one that the Lord had for me to marry, and but I was wrong. Things didn't work out. Of course, now I see God's divine plan. So here I was, even at 19 years old, and I still knew that I wanted to marry a preacher. Well, to marry a preacher, in my eyes, I thought, well, I have to find a preacher. And so that's exactly what I did. And I was working things out according to how I thought that they needed to be worked out. And one day, I was young, I was 20 years old. My cousin had set me up on a blind date. And so she set me up with Matt. I met him, and he was not a preacher. And that's all I'm going to say about that. He was not a preacher, nowhere near. But he went to church, you know, and was very faithful. But and I remember telling him, the second desire of my heart was to become a missionary. And I'm going to rewind a little bit and tell you about that. When I was 19, there was a missionary that came to our church. And the whole time she spoke, I just cried and cried. And after she was finished speaking, the pastor asked her to stand up at the front, and all of us church members could come up and talk to her and tell her, you know, to encourage her and let us know that we're praying for her. Well, I walked up to her, and she looked at me, and she said, "Are you the young lady that the Lord is calling to missions?"
Oh, wow.
And I said, "Yes," as if she knew exactly, you know, what was wrong with me. And I thought, I've never met this lady before, and she knows what the Lord has for me. And so I'm going to fast forward back again to when I met Matt. He and I started getting a little bit more serious, and I told him one day on the phone, I said, "The Lord has called me to missions, and I can't marry someone who's not a missionary." Here I am, once again, trying to work things out the way that I think they need to be worked out. And he laughed at me, and he said, "Well, if God ever calls me to missions, I'll let you know. I'll give you a call." And I thought, well, my goodness, this isn't going to work out, you know. So anyway, a few weeks later, we continued to talk and really felt like the Lord was leading us to be married, and it wasn't very long at all. And 9 months later, we got married, just young, 20 years old. And I remember thinking, this is no fun. Nobody told me how hard being married was. And so one night I was crying, and I was in my bed. Matt had to work away. He built power lines. And so he had to work away from home 4 days out of the week. And I was alone and by myself, and I was crying. And I said, "Lord, you knew that I wanted to marry a preacher. Why did you have me marry Matt?" And he once again just told me to be patient. And he revealed to me Psalm 37:4, that I was to delight myself in him, to find delight in him, and fall in love with him. And he would work out everything. Well, a couple of weeks after I had that prayer, Matt called me from work, and it was one night late, and he said, "I need to tell you something." And I said, "Okay, what is it?" And he said, "God is calling me to preach."
Oh, wow.
And I think I screamed. I don't know exactly what I did, but I just remember, and I just said, "Well, do it. Do it then." So, anyway, he didn't immediately surrender to preach. You know, he has his own testimony of how he ran from the Lord a little bit. And that's really molded both of us, molded our character into who we are now, and has allowed us to hopefully to, you know, reach people that maybe we wouldn't have been able to reach otherwise.
Exactly.
So, anyway, in September 27th of 2002, we had been married not quite 2 years, and he surrendered to full gospel ministry. And a couple of months later, he pastored his first church. So there I was, a pastor's wife. Yes.
Okay, so God's led you through a journey. You had the desire of your heart as a young child to be married to a pastor's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And God walked you through that, even married a person who wasn't a preacher.
Right.
And God had his way. I can relate. My story is very similar to that, but kind of
really
flipped. Then, so now where does a missionary come in?
Well, he was at his first church. It was in Oklahoma. And we had been there, almost 2 years. And his friend with another pastor, their church wanted to plant a mission in the United States. They had two missions in Mexico already. And so he just, nonchalantly mentioned that to Matt. Well, Matt does some research, and there we are in Oklahoma, around Choctaw Nation. And so he had, some native friends there, and they said, you ought to take a mission trip to Pine Ridge Indian Reservation with the Lakota. And So Matt did some research, and so he and his other pastor friend, they went up there, and they did a mission trip, and 14 souls were saved.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember him coming home and telling me about it, and we were so excited. And I said, oh, Lord, let's not go there. I don't want to move to South Dakota. Oklahoma is far enough from my family.
South Dakota is totally different from Oklahoma. Yes, I agree.
Oh, very, very different. And so a couple of months went by, and he said to me, I think the Lord is leading me to be a missionary.
Oh, wow.
And here I am again. Yay, I get to be a missionary now. The second desire of my heart is being fulfilled.
So tell me what you did. What did you do on the mission field?
Well, our goal was to plant a New Testament church there. We had started in Manderson, South Dakota, and we couldn't find any land or anything for a long time. But most of our members, our contacts, our first contacts, were we were actually busing them from Wounded Knee. And I'm sure you've heard Wounded Knee is a pretty historic area.
Exactly.
So they were very receptive there in that village. And so that's where we met. And everything just fell into place. We just knew that's where the Lord had wanted us to be. Although I had, I will confess that the year before that, I had really rebelled against the Lord because I just did not want to move that far away. And that's another story in itself. So there I was. I just had three children. Then I had a daughter, Bailey Ann, and then I had Jackson, and then Noah was 3 months old when we moved on to the mission field.
Oh, wow.
You know, so that's where we were, and we were there 2 years until the Lord has moved us here, back to South Arkansas.
I know that there's a lot of people that probably have never been on an Indian reservation, or they've just seen it from the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about why would you go to an Indian reservation? What's there? What's the draw? Why go to that place?
Well, probably the number one, even in the entire state of Arkansas, there's hardly any churches. It's a very desolate area, even in Nebraska. It's very far in between towns. And so we actually lived in Gordon, Nebraska, and there was many churches there. And we're Baptist, and so obviously, planting a New Testament church is going to be a Baptist one. And there's hardly any there. And it was really important for us to not plant upon another man's foundation. And so there was a lot of people that we were able to tell about Jesus Christ and who had never even heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very pagan culture, very pagan culture. And when I go and speak now, the number one thing that I say, in my southern drawl, I might add, is if it's not about Jesus, it's not about God. Many people believe in God, but not Jesus Christ. And
right.
They are one. And so the people are so receptive. I mean, they're just so receptive. They're just so thankful that you're there. A lot of people don't realize that how impoverished the Native Americans are there. It's literally a third world country right in the middle of the United States of America.
Exactly.
So And so there I was, a missionary. And when we came back to Arkansas, I really struggled a lot at first about what the Lord's plan for me was. Because if anyone knows about the Native American culture, it's a very maternal society. There's women and children everywhere, and you don't often see men. And so in church services, it's women and children. And so my work, obviously, was cut out for me. I could spend every second of every hour of every day there ministering to those women and children, and my work wouldn't even be near finished. And so I thought, why is the Lord moving us away from this new church plant back to Arkansas to a church that's been established for over 100 years? And I'm still learning now. I have been given so many opportunities. But for the past a little over a year, almost a year and a half, my church has been sending me back to South Dakota about every 3 months. And so I'm still a missionary, and the Lord has worked that out, and I'm just so humbled and honored to be able to serve in that capacity.
That is wonderful. So when you go back, do you go back, do you take a team, or do you just go yourself? Do your family go?
Well, sometimes it just depends. I've flown, just me and another lady from my church, we've flown to get up there. Matt, my husband, has gone with me. In January, actually, was the first time that my children have been able to be up there since we've moved back home, which they were little, but Bailey and my daughter, when we went in January, and she said to me when we were there, she said, "Mama, this is one of the top 10 days of my life."
Oh,
so,
wow.
I just praise the Lord that even my children are little missionaries.
Well, as you instill it into them, they become mission-minded, and they become they start gaining that mission heart, and I think
exactly.
That is wonderful. Unfortunately, I think that we've lost sharing what a missionary is, and whether it's in your backyard or to an Indian reservation, and as we can instill it in our children, I think that is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So as you've done mission work, there was another, you've shared two desires of your heart. There was another desire that you said to me that you kind of forgot about, but God did not?
Yes, God never forgets. Isn't that funny? I forget from day to day, but God never forgets anything. And he has the neatest sense of humor, sometimes showing us things that I didn't even remember. But I'd always dreamed of being a mother from a young girl. I just loved kids, and I loved playing with dolls, and it was just in me. I just always dreamed of being a mother. Well, one of my high school, I think it was in 11th grade, we had an assignment from our English teacher, and I don't remember what the title was, but it went along the lines of, "Where do you see yourself in so many years?" And I wrote in there that by such and such date, I wanted to be a mother, a wife, and a mother of four children. And I just didn't leave it at that. I was very specific. And I said, I want a daughter and three sons in a row. So that's what I wrote. And who knows if I was just, you know, daydreaming at the time or just scribbling something to complete an assignment. So I closed my journal, and somehow that little notebook ended up in my hope chest. And about three and a half years ago, close to 4 years ago, I was digging out my childhood Bible, and I was going to give it to my daughter. And I come across this little notebook from high school, and I open it straight to this page, and it says, "I want to be a mother of four children, a daughter, and three sons in a row." This was a few months after my fourth son, a son, had been born.
Oh, wow.
I thought, Lord, I didn't even remember. I didn't even remember that was one of my heart's desires, but you did. And he's just so faithful, and I'm just so humbled that he chooses to bless us how he does, and he never, ever forgets.
Exactly. There are so many times we voice those things, and then life happens, and God brings it back just to delight us
Yes.
Yeah, like the verse you were saying, Psalms 37:4, you know, delight yourself in the Lord also, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't say that he'll give you right at that very moment, but it does say that he'll give them to you as you delight in him, and that is so special. Well, what, through your life, you encourage women, other women, you do some speaking, is that right?
I'm just now starting that.
Pardon?
I'm sorry.
Oh, I just couldn't hear you, I'm sorry.
I said I'm just now starting that. I feel like I'm still on a journey. I feel like this is just the beginning. My kids are getting a little bit more independent now, and the Lord has given me more opportunities to serve him in different areas than I ever would have chosen.
Yeah.
I used to find it easier to sing in front of others, and so I just felt like that was my gift. I'll share a little funny snippet here.
Okay,
before
you do that, let me interrupt.
Yeah.
I have a caller on the line that would like to ask you a question. Can we take that?
Okay, sure.
Okay, just one moment. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, do you have a question or a comment for Andrea?
I have a comment for Andrea.
Okay.
I'm so proud of my daughter. I'm so very proud of her. And I knew all along what she would do. She used to tell me when she was a little girl, she said, Mama, I'm going to grow up and be a missionary. So
that is wonderful. So you have instilled in her a mission heart, a mission mind, and that is wonderful to have a mother that acknowledges that. Thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. I must have done something right.
You must have. She is a delight.
Oh, my.
Your dad is listening, too.
Oh, good. I love you.
I love you. Thank you for letting me speak.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling in.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Andrea, you were sharing a little thing.
Yes, I didn't even know she was going to do that.
That is no problem. That's wonderful. I think it's special whenever parents can hear and share.
I know. Having a support system really helps.
Exactly. But, very much so.
Yes. What I was saying was I used to find it easier to sing. And so singing was something that I did, like when Matt would preach revivals, well, I would just bring a special to sing. And what I was going to say was when Matt first surrendered to preach, my grandpa, he told me, well, Matt can't be a preacher. And he was just so serious. And I said, well, why not? And he says, because you can't play the piano.
Oh.
I said, well, Grandpa, I don't think it really works that way. And so, you know, that is something that everyone asks me, that if I can play the piano. And I can't. But that's okay because I can hopefully do some other things and
exactly.
Bring God honor and glory. But singing was something that I did, and I just, it was easier for me to sing than it was to speak. And so the Lord gives you exactly what you need. He does not call the equipped. He equips the called, that is for sure.
Very much so, very much so. I've learned that in my life, just the different things that he's asked me to do. I've laughed a lot. I do not have a comfort zone anymore because if I get in it, he's going to boot me out. So I might as well just learn how to live outside of a comfort zone. So we just have just a few minutes left. Is there anything, any kind of encouragement that you could give, whether it's someone that has the desire to be a pastor's wife, a missionary, or even a mother? Is there anything just within a minute or two that you could give?
Yes. The number one thing that I would say to encourage women is to delight yourself in the Lord. To wait patiently on him and not be like I did, not try to work things out on your own, but to let the Lord work every detail out because he doesn't forget and he's so faithful. In fact, Psalm 37:5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And that's a promise from the Lord. And whenever I delight, and that word is, the Hebrew meaning actually means to be soft and pliable. And whenever I mold and my will becomes his will, then he brings it to pass. And he's been so faithful in my life. And it's not because I have a special formula of how to serve the Lord or because I'm any better or any more special, but because that he loves each of us so much and he wants us to have our heart's desires. And when our desires are in line with his desires, then it will come to pass.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been a joy to get to know you and to get to know your story. And I just pray that God will just bless you and continue to delight you and just to show him through you. I just thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
For those of you that have joined us, I want to thank you so much for listening in. The show will be on a recording shortly if you want to go back through and listen again. And I just thank you so much for joining us and on this journey of telling our stories, of letting God's name be famous. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.